Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. The parallel story to this is Matthew chapter 8. In Matthew 8, some of the same things, but God's giving an emphasis there. In Matthew 8, the centurion says to Jesus, "Speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed." Jesus marvels at his faith because he's saying, "Lord, all you have to do is speak the word, and it'll happen." Then Jesus, in Matthew 8, heals Peter's mother-in-law. That's how we know Peter was married, because anybody who has a mother-in-law without being married, that's not right. Then Jesus casts out devils, and he heals people with his word in Matthew chapter 8. And every picture that Jesus gives of what he did in Matthew 8 is an expression of his power. Then in our text, in Matthew 8 and Mark 4, Jesus displays his power over nature. And that's how come it ends with, "What manner of man is this that can speak and control the wind?" And I love the statement, there's only one that makes it rain. That's God. There's only one in charge of the weather. Oh yeah, but satellite. No, there's only one that makes it rain. Amen. There's only one. We could spiritually apply this to a church. The boat on the ocean or the Galilean Sea. There's probably no better picture of a pastor in a church than seeing the boat on the sea, which would picture us subject to the trials and the sufferings and the labor. The Galilean Sea was treacherous and storms had come up very quickly. Because Jesus told us that he didn't come to send peace but a sword, as Jesus Christ is the captain of the ship, we are going to sail through many terrible storms. There have been bloody persecutions as the harlot in Rome has made herself drunk with the blood of the saints. There have been damnable heresies through the years. False teachings of Gnosticism, and you know, the more you know, the more godhood you can reach, and salvation by works, and humanism, and you can be your own God, and rationalism, and has just beat every plank of the ship. But the church still sails. The local New Testament church is still strong. The local New Testament Baptist church has sailed through blood and tears, and will continue to be in a storm until the Lord raptures the believers out of this world. In our text, notice Mark chapter 4, look at verse 37. "There arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awoke him, and saying to him, 'Master, carest thou not that we perish?' Thought, while the storm was raging, the Lord was asleep with his head on a pillow." I think that's absolutely amazing. I remember when my dad always said, you know, "I tell you once to get up. You don't get up, you get water." That's always a blessing. Because you can't go back to sleep on a wet pillow. This says the Lord was in the back of the ship with his head on a pillow and waves were beating on the ship. I just pictured Jesus with this water-soaked pillow. It says his head was on a pillow. Those on board become scared and that they're going to die. And we learn that their distress led to prayer. You know, it'd be nice if we prayed without distress, but most people don't. But God doesn't work until you pray. So God can use the distress and the pain and the suffering in our life to help us cry out like we should have before the distress, so that he can do what? Show his power. Show his power and help. I said this morning in Sunday school, prayer is the easiest thing that we can do in the Christian life, because we can pray anywhere. That's why the staves were on the altar of incense. It could be carried anywhere in the world. We can pray anywhere, but very few people do. It's also the thing that Christians do the least. I don't mind spiritually applying this to the church. I like to look at it, though, as a picture of our journey with Jesus personally as he takes us to the other side. Mark chapter 4. Can we look at verse 35? I want to go through this verse by verse, and I want you to think with me through it. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. Watch this. "In the same day, when the even was come, he," Jesus, "saith unto them, 'Let us pass over unto the other side.'" A lot of songs have been written about the other sides, talking about heaven and going with Jesus to the other side. You know, we sing the song in the little songbook, I'm already over on the other side, waiting on my brand new body, in a picture of heaven. So Jesus invites them to go to the other side, to get in the boat. Jesus invited whosoever desired to go with him to the other side. That tells me this, God initiates salvation. If you've trusted Jesus Christ, it was God's idea to save you, not yours. God was seeking you because you were lost. You weren't seeking the Lord. People say, I know what they're talking about, but they'll say, oh, I found the Lord. But the Lord wasn't lost. You were. You were lost. And that's how the Lord found you. And long before you were ever born, God came to this earth and died on a cross for your sins. Then a soul winner, or a Sunday school teacher, or a bus worker, or a parent, or a pastor was sent your way to where you could see from the Bible how to be saved. And you accepted Jesus' invitation to get into the boat and go on the other side with Him. He invited you. I'm so glad that when we found out that we needed to be saved, there was a Savior. I'm so glad that when I found out I was a sinner, Jesus died for my sins. It is God that desired to save sinners. People may not care. There will always be people who don't care about heaven and don't care, but God is sending people and radio announcements and tracts and sending out Bibles and soul winners because God is always inviting people to get in the boat with Him and go to the other side. God offers the same free ticket to everybody. He doesn't have a special seating on His boat like first and second class. He doesn't have a ticket for poor people and a different ticket for rich people. Jesus said, if you want to sail with me, get on board. If you don't want to sail with me, stay right here, but we're headed to the other side. Look at verse number 36. And when they had sent away the multitude, so Jesus gives the invitation, those that want, get on the ship, and then the multitude is sent away. You say, how do you apply that? When you got saved, there's a group that must have been sent away because you were not going to walk with them anymore. There was a multitude. I know when I got saved, there was a multitude. You don't walk the plank to accept the invitation to get on the ship to go to the other side. You don't walk the plank as a group. You walk as an individual. And there were people that were with me that I had to decide, I had to send away. I wasn't rude to them. I wasn't mean. I just said, I can't stay here. I can't stay here. I want to go with Jesus and I want to go to the other side. And the multitude was sent away. Christian, the same thing's true with you. Every Christian has people that when they get... Look, everybody isn't going to get saved. I wish they would. They're all invited to go, but everybody doesn't care about heaven. Everybody doesn't care about the Bible. There's going to be some people that say no. And a Christian has got to say, I don't hate you. I'm for you. I wish you'd go too. I wish you'd accept the invitation. But if you're not, I can't stay here. I'm getting on the boat. And I'm going to the other side. And that multitude has to be sent away. And by the way, that battle's the hardest battle to fight. I don't know of anything that is harder for a Christian to go through. But when I had to part with those that I partied with, when I had to part with those that I got drunk with, and I was saying, I can't go with you. I'm not staying here. I'm going on the boat. I've been invited to be saved. I've been invited to go to heaven. I've been invited to go to the other side. And the multitude had to be sent away. That's an application there. Then watch this. Watch this. In chapter 4, verse 36, watch this. It then says, they took him. They took him. I'm going to break this down in little phrases this morning. I just want you to stay with me. They took him. Who'd they take? They took Jesus. You don't get to the other side of heaven by taking baptism or by taking communion or by anything but Jesus. They didn't take Jesus and something else. They took only Jesus. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's Jesus only. They took Jesus. Then it says, they took him. You can't be good enough. And the 12 steps of reformation, of the 12-step ladder, is you're still going to come up short. I don't care if it's a 14-step ladder. Your church, your religion, or good works can't get you to the other side. You still have to take Jesus. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. They took Him. They took Jesus. Then look at the next phrase. Watch this. Look at the next phrase. Even as He was in the ship. I have "as He was" in my Bible underlined. As He was. Watch this. So they took Jesus as He was. The world has a Jesus that walks arm in arm with every religion and opinion. The Jesus that captains the boat that gets you to heaven is the Jehovah Creator God. The world has a Jesus who is not God. He's not virgin born. The world has a Jesus that sinned just like they do and approves of all their sin. The world has a Jesus that has Muhammad as a brother and answers to Allah. There is only one Jesus, though, who can get you to the other side, and it's the one that as He is, you can't take Him as you wish He was. You can't take Him as you think He is. You have to take Him as He is, the Creator and Savior of man. I am God. There is no other Savior beside me. Isaiah 46. There is no other God. You take Him as He is, as God presents Him in His Word. He's not the megachurch Jesus, or the boozing Jesus, or an adultery-committing Jesus, or any type of sin-loving Jesus, or do-whatever-you-want Jesus. You have to take the Jesus of the Bible, not a Barack and Michelle Jesus, or an Oprah Winfrey Jesus. You want me to go on? Okay. It's the Jesus of the Bible, and there's only one. Amen. And He's not open to open opinion. There's only one. The Jesus of the Bible came because of our sins. And He died to pay for our sins. And if your Jesus isn't willing to deal with your sin, then you've got the wrong Jesus. They took Him as He was. Now look at verse 36 again. Look at this. Watch the end. And there were also with Him other little ships. So you get the picture. There's the boat that Jesus is on. He's inviting everybody to come on. There's littler ships, and they're all floating, because in a calm harbor, on a sunny day, there will always be other ships that float. But there's only one ship that will get you to the other side, heaven, through the storm. There's only one ship that won't sink when the storm comes. And by the way, at the end of the story, there's only one ship that makes it across the side. There's a whole bunch of little ships. One ship Jesus is on, and that one ship, because He's the captain, made it to the other side. All the little ships, they didn't make it. You see, the SS Baptist sank, amen? The SS Presbyterian sank. The SS Catholic, it never got floated. No, I'm just kidding. The SS Do the Best You Can sank, and the SS I'm Trying My Own Religion, it went down in the storm. But the one ship that made it across was the ship Jesus was captaining. Every ship is fine in calm waters. Rehab, joining the church of your choice, turning over a new leaf, trying hard, and all that will make your life a little better as long as the weather's good. But through the storms and the trials and troubles of life, there's only one boat that's going to get you to the other side, and that's the boat with the Lord Jesus Christ on it. The other boats sink when you're facing terminal cancer. The other boats sink when you're facing death. They don't hold up. Matthew chapter 4, look at verse 37, ready? And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. Jesus invited them into the ship. Think about this. Jesus invited them into the ship knowing there was going to be a storm. He's God. One, I think that's how come He slept. Two, when they woke Him up, He was like, oh my goodness, it's raining. He knew it was going to storm. He knew. He invited them on the ship knowing they were going to get in a storm that was going to beat into the ship. And that the ship was going to fill up with water. For the people that believed and got on the ship, there arose a great storm. The waves beat into the ship and filled the boat. And on this boat are those who have trusted Jesus, the captain. Guess what happened to the people that did what the Lord wanted them to do? Think about this. The Lord, the ship filled up with water. But I did what God wanted me to do. But I obeyed the Lord. And look what's going. Look what we're in. Whenever people say, "What will I get if I sail with Jesus?" Well, will I ever have a problem or a struggle or a heartache or a burden or a trial again? Will Jesus make my life easier if I get saved? If I get on the ship with Him and go to the other side? The storms, listen, the storms are until you get to the other side. The troubles are until you get to the other side. The struggles are until you get to the other side. There are terrible winds and scary waves until you get to the other side. Jesus didn't say, "Who wants trouble-free, storm-free sailing?" He asked, "Who wants to go with me to the other side?" Jesus didn't say, "Who wants to live without trials?" He said, "Who wants to go with me to the other side?" The Lord has not offered, listen closely, the Lord has not offered you a life without tears, but He has offered you a destination without tears. The Lord has not offered you life without trouble, but He has offered you a destination without trouble. This world is a vale of tears. The Lord has never told you that there would never be anything that won't scare you after you trust Him. But He has promised you safe passage all the way across. He has promised you a boat that won't sink. He has promised you safe passage. Jesus did promise that He would get you to the other side, but He never promised that the winds would never get above a certain miles per hour, or that the waves would never go over a certain height, or that you would never freak out. Jesus didn't tell you that. Every vessel, you see that part on there last, that it was now full? Every vessel has a mark on it that says if the water goes past this point, it's going to sink. Every vessel has a mark. Those who have been in storms on their boats have learned that the boat can take a lot more than you think it can. I'm talking about those that have really sailed on the ocean. I remember my first time on ship in the Marine Corps, we hit the heaviest storm in 10 years that hit the Atlantic coast. We sailed right out of Hampton, Virginia Beach. That storm, I remember I was laying in the berthing area, and I don't have any sea legs, whatever. Everybody's, all the Marines are there. We're all getting used to it, and everybody's got these patches. I didn't do the patch, but I remember I was laying in my bunk, and this storm, our ship isn't doing this, and it's not rocking from side to side. It was doing corkscrews like this, and that's a whole different sensation. And I was laying on that bunk, and at about 4 hours into the storm, I heard this. And I thought, "Dear Lord, if we go down," I wasn't even saved yet, okay? I'd get saved in a couple of months, but I was like, if we go down, they always say, when the ship goes, I got all this stuff running through my head. You know what happened? The whole side plank of the ship got ripped off our ship. When we hit port, there wasn't anything to walk down. The whole plank got ripped off the ship. Our ship was almost 500 feet long. I remember going, that was some storm. That was some storm. The reason I told you that is everybody who has ever been on storms in their boat, they learned that the boat can take a lot more than you think it can. And that tells me this. All of us have a mark in our boat that says full. I don't know where my full mark is. But God sees the mark. And we always think it's lower than it really is. That tells me this. All of us think we're full before God knows we are. We've all had what we think we can take, and then we can take some more. It says the boat was now full. Okay? So I'm talking about the full mark. Can you look in your Bible there? Look at verse number 38. And he, Jesus, was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Do you even care? Now I want you to listen close to me. These bold disciples who would one day give their lives for the Lord are scared sailing with Jesus. These bold disciples are uncertain sailing with Jesus in the boat. They're terrified. They're doubting the outcome while they're sailing with Jesus. The people that decided to go with Jesus said, this is what they said, how can you just sleep there when we're about to die? Don't you even care? Now, if you're Jesus, that sounds pretty insulting. What do you mean, don't I care? I created you. I know, those are pretty insulting words. You see, if everything is going okay in your life, you look at the disciples and you think, that's pretty stupid for asking that. But you see, we know the end of the story. They didn't. When things happen that you weren't counting on, or that you didn't know about, you and I do the same thing. We sing the songs about trusting Jesus until the storm comes. Through many trials, storms, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. That's a great song when you don't need it. But few sing it in the trial. The disciples weren't. Nobody was singing, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Nobody's singing that on the ship. In the heat of the battle, we've all said things and thought things and acted in ways that showed our lack of faith and went against everything we said we'd never do. And when the waves are crashing and you're hanging on for dear life, you're asking God to get busy. The man who accepted Jesus' invitation to go to the other side, who sent away the multitude and set sail with Jesus when the storm hit, lost all of his faith. Jesus didn't say, how is it that you have little faith? He said, how is it that you have no faith? Their trust was gone. That needs to be pointed out. Their trust was gone. He went so far, this man on the ship went so far to accuse the Lord of not caring, and the Lord didn't throw him overboard. Aren't you glad? Everyone on board lost their faith in the captain, and Jesus didn't throw anyone overboard. Does that help you this morning? Amen. It helps me. He didn't wrap a rope around one ankle to throw anyone to the bottom. Jesus didn't say, if you're going to act like that, then get off my boat. Aren't you glad? Look what he did. Whenever I'm burdened and scared, I go to wake him, but he never tells me, get out of here. I'm sleeping, leave me alone. He never says that to me when I'm scared. And I've been scared. I've been hurt. Life has been... You had no idea it was coming. And watch this. It comes as fast as the flick of a switch. It's light, and then all of a sudden, poof, lights out. You had no idea it was coming. I've been scared. Isn't it a blessing to know that once you get on the boat to go to the other side, he's going to keep you on board whether you are a fit crewman or not? Isn't that good to know? He never says, so you don't think I can handle it, huh? Boink. Jesus never threw one person off the boat for failing to trust him in the midst of the storm. It blesses my heart. Once you're on that boat, he said, I'm going to take you to the other side. Look at verse 39. Look at verse 39. Watch this. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, peace be still. And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. You see, I said it before, we know the end of the story. We know how this ends. They didn't. Jesus handled the storm all by himself. He didn't say, okay, everybody. Okay, all together now, fellows. Let's rebuke the wind. Ready? One, two, three. He did it all by himself. He didn't say, everybody, let's hold hands and yell at the waves. He did it all by himself. He didn't, in their hour of weakness and total lack of faith, Jesus calmed the storm without them. He didn't say, okay, you've lost faith in me, but if you'll build your faith back up and trust me, I'll calm the storm. He didn't do that, did he? In their weakest time, he still calmed the storm without them. I think he just got up. I definitely want to see this video when I get to heaven. Amen? I want to see this. You see, in their hour of unbelief, Jesus works miracles on their behalf. And I say to that, what a captain. What a savior. Even when I don't deserve it, and when he has no reason, because I've been a stinker, a snothead, he still works miracles on my behalf. And still does it all by himself. You see, I don't have the power to calm the storm when it came into my life. I can't stop the trouble when it comes into my life. And when you can't take any more, Jesus says, enough. Be still. Peace. The moment the ship was full, Jesus rebuked the wind and the waves. You see, that tells me this. You can go farther than your emotions make you feel you can, and you can go farther than your feelings make you think you can. This teaches me that when you've gone as far as God knows you can go, He rebukes and calms the storm when God says they can't take any more. Look at Mark chapter 4. Look at verse 40, shall we? Just work on our way through this story. Just trying to apply this. Look at verse 40. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? No faith. That tells me this. One of the lessons learned is that of feelings and faith. God gave us our emotions. Love, fear, hate, anger, happiness, guilt, all of that. But our emotions are never supposed to guide our lives. When we're driven and operating by emotion and our feelings, then we are not exercising any faith. And that's why we'll tell you, you need to trust the Lord and trust His Word. Get you to, yeah, but I feel. Who cares how you feel? Literally, you have to get that point in the Christian life or you go nowhere. Because while you're running on your feelings, you are not operating by faith. It's either feelings or faith. Well, I just feel that what God wants me to... Get in the book. This is what determines what's right. Not your feeling. You're going to feel different tomorrow than you feel today. So quit running your life by your feelings and by your emotions. Look at verse 40 again. He said, "Why?" And he said to them, why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith? Jesus asked them why they lost their faith. They had faith in him when they got on board, but they completely lost their faith. And I just love this. Just think about this. It's so beautiful to see that when they lost their faith, they didn't lose their place on the ship. Jesus didn't say, you're on the ship as long as you trust me. He said, when you put your faith in me and got on the ship, he said, you're on the ship until we get to the other side. Amen. Amen. Once saved, always saved, if saved. Amen. You're not saved as long as you do well or keep trusting me. I like that. Okay, they didn't lose their relationship to the captain. Praise the Lord. Once you get on board, you're on board. Now look at verse number 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Look at chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side. They made it. That's the one ship that made it. There were a whole bunch of boats that were out there when they got on the ship, but only one made it across, and they did make it to the other side. They did make it to the other side. Who made it to the other side? People who didn't sail well. People who didn't conduct themselves appropriately while they were on board. That's who made it to the other side. Not perfect sea-sailing creatures. Aren't you glad? People who didn't act right. Everybody who got on the boat, everybody who trusted Jesus to take them there, made it to the other side. I'm so glad that God never holds me against me when I fail. I'm so glad that God never holds my inability to cope with life against me. I've never seen that in the Bible. God says, I'm always God. And sometimes when you think you're somebody and you're all that and a bag of chips, there's storms in life that'll remind you you're not what you think you are. Amen. And you do need me, God says. Amen. You do need me, and the storms remind us how bad we need Him. How bad we need Him. Christian songs are so stupid nowadays. Songs like God believes in you. God has confidence in you. God trusts you. Are you kidding me? That's modern contemporary garbage. My heart is desperately wicked, and I was a condemned sinner on my way to hell, and then Jesus saved me. But my spirit is what got saved. My soul and body didn't get saved. My flesh is wicked, and I can't trust me for 10 minutes. What do you mean God trusts me? God doesn't trust me. I'm supposed to trust God. What do you mean God has faith in you? What a bunch of garbage. All this positive blah, blah, blah. It's just, it's goo. I trust Him, and I know that there's to be no trust in my flesh. The disciples asked this question in verse 41. What manner of man is this? Can you take your Bible and let's go to Psalm 65 and we'll end it with this. Psalm 65. What manner of man is this? That the waves and the winds obey His voice. Who is this? Look at Psalm 65. Look at verse 1. Ready? Psalm 65. I'll work my way through this real quick. Psalm 65, verse 1. Praise waiteth for thee, O God. So he's addressing God in Sion, that spiritual Jerusalem. And unto thee shall the vow be performed. Look at verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, that's God Almighty. Unto thee shall all flesh come. Iniquities prevail against me. As for our transgressions, they shall purge them away. Look at verse 5. By terrible things in righteousness wilt thou answer us, O God of our salvation. So I don't think anybody's doubting the topic of this psalm is God. The one he's talking to is God. Who is this manner of man? Look at verse number 6. Which by his strength setteth fast the mountains, being girded with power. Look at verse 7. Which stilleth the noise of the seas, the noise of their waves, and the tumult of the people. Who is this? Who is this that can calm the waves? Jesus Christ was God Almighty in the flesh. And the same Old Testament God in the Old Testament is the New Testament Jesus in the New Testament. They're one and the same. Who is this that they can speak and the winds obey His voice? This man is God. Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. Over and over again through your Bible. This same Jesus. The Lord didn't wake them up, and then say, settle down. I like this. When I look at verse 7, He stills the noise of the sea, the noise of their waves, and lastly, He calms the tumult of the people. He settled the wind and he settled the sailors. I'm sorry, he settled the wind and he settled the waves, and then he settled the sailors. God doesn't get angry with me when my faith fails. Listen closely, I'm almost done. He expects it. It was no shock. Jesus did ask them, "Why are you so afraid, and how come you have no faith?" But he knew. He knew. And when my faith fails, and I don't live what I preach, because I'm in the storm, then God brings me back, amen, so that I can preach some more things that I don't live. You say, that's hypocrisy. Okay, how far do you want to take that boat? I don't know a Christian that is not to some degree a hypocrite. Now maybe there's people out there who every time the storm hits and the waves are crashing, the boat's filled up with water and it's rocking, and they're, trust and obey, for there's no other way. Okay, maybe they're out there. But I've been, as a pastor, I've been with enough people. When the storm's hitting, I've seen the fear. And I never say, oh, why don't you be a better Christian? I understand the fear. Because I've been scared. I understand it. Here, he calmed the winds and the seas, and then he calmed them. God doesn't get angry with me when my faith fails. He calmed the storm, and then he calmed them. Jesus knows I don't calm down until the storm does. Just a picture of him going, I can handle it, guys. Okay, well, then handle it. I'm not going to quit being scared until, you know, we quit sinking. And Jesus, peace, be still. Then he asks him the question. Let's learn from this. In Mark 4, it said, there arose a great storm. That's verse 37. In verse 41, it says, and he arose, and there was a great calm. The captain of our ship is greater than whatever tries to take the ship to the bottom. Aren't you glad? And there's a great calm for every storm. You see, when life arises, a storm arises. But when Jesus arises, there's a calm. There's a calm. It's not always smooth sailing, but Jesus will get you to the other side if you'll put your faith in Him. In Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you that you're the one that can calm the storm. And Lord, no matter what we're facing, when we don't act right, and when we lose faith, thank you that you don't throw us off the ship. With head bowed and eyes closed, maybe you say, Pastor, this morning I've never gotten on the ship. I don't have the peace of God in my heart that I'm saved. I would love to know how to get to the other side by just simply trusting Jesus. Is there anybody here like that? You say, Pastor, I don't have the peace of God in my heart. With head bowed and eyes closed, if you just simply raise your hand. Is there anybody like that? Then Christian, are you going through a storm? Praise God. He's there. He's going to take you to the other side.